Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
As we were worshiping, I just had this vision, the Lord speaking over us this word, rescue. That He'd bring healing in the house. That He'd bring deliverance in the house. He'd restore hope. Sometimes as we're waiting on the mountain, it's almost like we're waiting to become a recovery, not a rescue. But the Lord is saying that He sees us and He knows our situation. He knows where we're at. And it's not like the plane flying over and tipping its wing. It's the helicopter coming in to pick us up and pluck us out of the circumstances to bring life and freedom. The Lord says, put your trust in me and lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your path, and I will show you that my plans for you, they're really for good. They're not for destruction. I haven't brought you this far just to leave you. I haven't brought you this far just to frustrate you. I brought you this far to take you farther, to take you to that place of deliverance, to take you to that place of freedom. I sense the Lord just saying, even right now, those things that have been on your heart, those things that are right on the top that you can't even close your eyes without seeing, the Lord says, extend your hands to me and I will bring your deliverance. I will bring your freedom. I will rescue you. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
You receive that. And I would say even that some of you need to leap into that rescue. It's like the Lord is there, but you've got to just take that leap of faith. You've got to jump toward Him. Sometimes in a rescue, it's up to the person being rescued just to jump and say, I'm gonna take a step of faith. And I really want to pray for us right now, because the Lord is coming for us, and He's coming to touch and strengthen, and He's also calling us to a place of faith and trust in the midst of that. And if you're just in a place where you need to move to a better place today, I want to pray for your faith. Now let's just bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your promise, Lord, this prophetic word, Lord, that we can trust you and that you're coming for us. And Lord, also that we want to jump into your arms, Lord. We want to just take that leap of faith towards you. And I know many people, Lord, that are just, they'd rather stay almost in the safety of now. But Lord, help us to take that leap toward you that enables us to go just to a better place that you have for us, Lord. Thank you for these promises and these words. I pray, Lord, over areas of indecision in our life. I pray, Lord, areas of unbelief, Lord, would just drop off of us, Lord. Problems and addictions and hurts and things we're trying to carry over from a former season. Lord, let it all be broken off of us. Let something fresh and new take place as we trust you, Lord, as we heed these prophetic words. So we say yes to you, Lord. Father, I pray for the sick in this room right now. I thank you that you're mighty to heal. Hallelujah. Everyone say, you are mighty to heal, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive your healing touch in our bodies, strength and power, Lord. We bless you and we praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you will yet do. And we praise you now for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Can we give Jesus a great big hand clap this morning? Come on, let's love the Lord. Thank you. Everyone stand together. I want to pray for you. You know, as we were worshiping, I could just feel in my heart how God has called so many of you right now to take a step of faith. And the enemy is just pushing back with everything he's got. I mean, there's some serious warfare coming against God's people and their faith. And I know this is a special time of, so much going on, but I want us to just have a time of agreement here this morning. I want to get up here high where I could just see you guys right in the eye. How many of you are going through a moment where you can feel the enemy just resisting you? Just show me your hand. Now, here's what I want to say to you. It is because you are on the border of the greatest blessing you've ever understood and greatest blessing that you've ever known. Sometimes the enemy sees more than we see. And I feel like here's the simple step. If you'll just say yes to the Lord, just kind of throw yourself. Sometimes you get to the edge of something And there's no way to get where from where you are to where you need to be except to jump. It's kind of like a leap into our Father's arm. And it's just for many of you, it's a step of faith. You know that God is asking you to go deeper with Him, whatever it may be. And the enemy is just resisting. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't take that step. God is saying, yeah, trust me. Trust me. And you know, the most powerful things that have ever happened in my life happened when I took a simple step forward. It wasn't flashy. Wasn't spectacular. It wasn't the 4th of July. It was just a simple yes to the Lord. And I wonder what God would do in your life today if you would just say yes to Him. If you would just doubt your doubts, forget about your fears, and just say yes to the Lord. Can we just pray together? And let's just bow our heads. Father in heaven, we come before You, and I feel so deep in my spirit. And I know it's been a theme all through this day so far of how the enemy is trying to resist, but the great things that You have for Your people, Lord. And Father, we just pause right now to say that the devil is a liar and that You are true, Lord, and that You will keep Your every promise. Healing is ours. Provision is ours. Restoration is ours, Lord. Blessing is ours, Lord. Prosperity is ours. And we just, Lord, we just jump into Your arms today. We just take the leap of faith to put our complete trust and confidence in You. And we know that You will never disappoint. Lord, I pray for people that are just in a valley of decision today, facing maybe all hell is breaking loose. And we just strengthen them now, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen faith throughout this house. Strengthen our decisions to put our trust in You. And we just receive now that peace that we sang about, Lord. That deep and abiding peace, Lord. That fear is broken and Your peace is ours through Christ. Now we receive this in Jesus' name. How many receive that right now? Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. I believe it is done. It is done. It is done. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, you can be seated.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
During the first service, the Lord spoke to me regarding Apostle C. And I just want to kind of shift gears here. I felt God told me three things for you. The first is that He's going to give you a new anointing to be a declarer of the ancient landmarks. That's a calling particularly. It's a rare calling. It's a hard calling. But to declare the ancient landmarks that are so easily forgotten and just glossed over by a lot of people preaching today, but not getting to the basics, which is really the staples of our faith. The second thing the Lord spoke to me is that when you open your mouth, God is going to fill it. You will speak the prophetic word of the Lord every time you man the pulpit. That's yours. It's a promise from heaven. And the third thing the Lord said to me is that He is going to give you a supernatural grace to finish your course. And you are to run the final lap with joy, victory, health, prosperity, and God is going to give you enormous fruit. The Lord's blessing is upon you. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Boy, I received that. That's a great, great promise. Well, you know what's special about Sunday is there's something in our service for every person, especially when it comes to the preaching of God's Word. God's Word has a power on its own. God's Word, when it's preached and shared, has the power to change your life, to warm your heart, to calm your fears. But especially when it comes through an experienced, anointed servant of God. Dr. Emmanuel Canestraci is our founding pastor, and it's good to see you, Sister C. I don't know if you would be willing to stand up so that everybody can know who you are. Our founding pastor's wife, we love you very much. This is Shirley Canestraci. And these two are not only a part of the pastoral foundation of our church, but they've traveled the world and continue to do so to share to touch lives, and the experiences that they have had over the last 65 plus years in serving the Lord. I wish we could get them all into one service, but you're going to be blessed. You're going to be fed. Get your Bible, get a pencil, a notepad, open your heart, and please receive Dr. Emmanuel Canastraci as he comes.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. It is just a rare thing that's happening. Yesterday, I get a phone call, and many of you will know who Barbara Woods is. I've never received a phone call from her. Urgent. And she's living now in Sacramento. She was my secretary for about, 10 years. She's typed over 2,000 of my messages, word for word, just as I gave them, listening to the recorder, or I usually handwrite my messages out, and she was about the only one, and Joanne now has picked up how to read my terrible scribbling. And she said, I don't know how to say this, Apostle C. I don't know how to say it. And when people say that, I always say it! Don't keep me on edge. I don't know how to say it. And she said, I've never done this to you, but you better obey God about the message. I feel you have a message. And I'm telling her, okay, give me, I didn't tell her that, but I'm saying to myself, give me the text, give me the confirmation. And the first thing she said was the first scripture that I had already prepared to give you. And then Dr. David Sell, I don't know if he's a doctor or even a nurse, but anyhow, he is a prophet of God. I have to be humorous because a prophecy like that is very, 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 very deep in my heart, because the devil had told me 3 years ago that I should start slowing down and get ready because all of my friends die in their 80s. And he's true. David Chalk, Leonard Fox, George Evans, I can read 50 people. They're all dead, and they all die in their 80s. I sold my condo because I thought I shouldn't keep a condo if I'm going to be going to heaven in 4 or 5 more years. I might as well get ready. And then I backed out after they put the money in escrow, and they sent me by FedEx. I came to San Jose and left Hawaii, and they were going to send the papers, money in escrow. The Lord said, you didn't ask me. You know, we think it's none of God's business sometimes. You got to ask the Lord in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Anyway, so I backed out, broke the heart of a spirit-filled broker that brokered that house when I bought it. Broke her heart because she lost $30,000 commission. But anyhow, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I said, but I do not know the context how this message is going to be for Gateway, because it was a prophecy, and it just came to me as a prophecy. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And it was like an alert. It was like this thing that happens on Fox and CNN. Alert, alert. And then you're going to hear about an earthquake or about 1,000 people being mowed down by machine gun or beheadings. 19 at one time, 20, 30, 40 people crucified. You're going to hear this. And so, alert, alert. And it came to me as an alert. Of course, I immediately prepared and sent out to all our email people to pray because it was an alert. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. And Pastor David, when he prayed for you, he saw hundreds of your hands raised that you're going through things. And crisis upon crisis upon crisis is happening to the church. After I got done preaching this morning, one of the oldest members of this church, and we'll not mention who, come up to me and he said, "Why, Apostle C, should anybody be alarmed because they're going through a trial or going through a test? Why should any Christian expect less than what Jesus promised?" He not only promised us peace, he not only promised us joy, he not only promised us happiness and favor and grace and pardon from our sins and his presence and all that. He also promised you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tests, and your mother-in-law will move in with you too. But anyhow. And this kid, he was just a punk when he came in. And now he's saying, "Why should anybody be surprised?" And I thought, out of the mouth of babes, because now he's probably 58. Why should anybody be surprised that Christians get sick? That Christians are being battered and bashed by the demonic forces in their head saying, "You're finished. God doesn't love you. You're being punished. If God kept his word, this wouldn't have happened. But somehow God just put you aside and you're an outcast, you're second class, you're a misfit, you're the black sheep of the family, and it's never going to happen. You might as well give up. Why do you even go to church? You paid your tithes all." And all these rotten voices coming. Why should you be surprised? What would you do if you were the devil? You would kill me. You would try, at least. So Satan is not a good Satan. He never has been good. The Bible said from the beginning he was a liar. So anyways, I'm going to leave it there. The church must be on the offensive, not just on the defensive. I stand as a defender of the gospel. But what we're not hearing preached as often as we should, the church should be on the offensive. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. I feel God told me to speak this. And then when Barbara Woods called, and she's in Sacramento, I've been gone from this church, I don't know, 25 or 30 years, is calling me saying, "Preach it." And so, if we don't wake up to five things that I'm going to put on the screen, because I'm going to ask you a question before it goes on the screen. What time is it? And I know I've got 30 minutes to get this message to you, but I want to tell you exactly from the scripture what time it is. What time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to take the kingdom of darkness down. Pull down the strongholds. Don't just read the paper and listen to CNN or Fox News and say, "Oh, what's this world coming to?" It should cause you to realize that's what we're here for. We're here to do battle against the forces of darkness in prayer, in intercession. Cry aloud and spare not, and lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Get in the prayer room and get here on Saturday morning and pray. God has started me about 3 years now. Wakes me up. I don't set the alarm. Wakes me up every single day between 4 and 4:30. I get out of bed, even if I go to bed at 12, because I know it's time to seek the Lord. The second time to seek the Lord until... The reason I didn't finish the scripture is because you seek the Lord until there's a breakthrough, until a prophecy comes or a word or a rhema jumps out of the Bible. But certainly you don't stop seeking him until there is that great assurance and great sense that heaven has heard. And that God is going to send ministering spirits, angels, to minister, or people as angels, as it were, that will help minister and bring you to that place of breakthrough and deliverance. And that means so much to me to have a prayer shield. Pastor Ellen, Pastor Laura, Pastor Dave, that they're all part of a team. Some of my own relatives that are a part of the prayer team, that I know wherever I'm at, in the Philippines or Indonesia, or where I'm fighting battles or demonic forces or trying to help people whose marriages are falling apart or churches are falling apart, and preachers that are cancer victims and sick and dying, and know that there is a prayer force praying for me, that God will put a ready word, a timely word, a rhema word to bring help and courage and assurance. And that is so important. It is time to seek the Lord until he reigns righteousness and purity and holiness and brings this nation back to its roots and its beginning. How many believe God can do that? Don't give up on America. Don't give up on America. Many people in Congress and in the Senate and in Washington have given up on America. Don't give up on America. You sang it. God never quits. God never stops. God founded this nation. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. Not everything in America is good. Not everything is pure and holy and righteous. But I'll tell you right now, we've got more than 10 people in America. And God said to Abraham, if there's 10 righteous in Sodom, come on, everybody, come. Don't 10, 10. If Abraham would have went down to 5, 2, anyways. Listen, prayer works. Let me give you another time to seek the Lord. It is time. No, this time it says high time. In other words, God says, I've been waiting on you. You're waiting on God. He said, I'm waiting on you. You have not because you ask not. What does God have to do? My daughter's not here, but I can give her testimony because she wants me to give it because she's putting it out on television. I knew that she had kind of slackened going to church, and I don't think she ever surrendered to the devil or ever capitulated her faith. But she came out with a block that said, for 20 years, she hadn't felt the presence of God. For 20 years, she was in a deep sleep. And God, about 2 years ago, awakened her out of the sleep and brought her back to her first love. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your grandchildren. Don't give up on your spouse. Don't give up on anybody. Yes. Prayer works. Yes. Did you know that every miracle that God ever done, he done on a day just like today? Miracles happen. And God can change nations. God can change the heart of presidents and kings and prime ministers and dictators. God can get Nebuchadnezzar. He can get Cyrus. He can get heathen kings to do his will. Come on, everybody. He can get the enemies to prepare a table before you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God can take one man, a prophet, and he can prophesy blindness over an entire army that come to kill him. And they can't see where they're going. And where do you want to go? They said, we're out. Well, come on, I'll show you the way. We're out to get that prophet. We're out to kill him. We're out to get that church. And so he leads them right into Samaria. And the king of Israel said, let's kill him. And he said, no, 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 no. Don't kill him. Feed him. Can you imagine? They fed that whole army, and they left without killing one, Elijah or Elisha or any of the people of God, when they were hell-bent to kill every one of them, wipe them out. Satan wouldn't be the devil if he didn't try to kill you. He's the thief that cometh to kill and to steal and to rob. Jesus, I've come to give you life. 1 Peter 5:8 says, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, Jesus could say, but he's a pussycat. Jesus didn't say that. He's roaring like he wants to devour you. But he said, you can resist him. You can put on your clothes, your armor, your weapons of warfare, praise, worship, intercession, preach, prophesy, and he will be brought down. And his devices and his schemes that have terrorized so many Christian people, frightened to death, in the worst possible emotional upheavals I've ever seen in my lifetime that are taking place in people's lives. Sure, people are going to be afraid. Sure, people are going to have nervous sweat. Sure, we're going to have dreams. I was awakened last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was such a horrible dream. And I know the interpretation of it. And when God gives you a dream, it's prophetic sometimes. And you don't have to say, that's what's going to happen. You got an opportunity to pray. For instance, when Shirley, my wife, had just given birth to Linnell, I couldn't be there for my middle daughter's birth. I was in Chicago preaching, and I tried to beat the stork home, driving, 80 miles an hour sometimes to get there, but it got there before I did. And my mother-in-law was there, and Lyndall, my brother-in-law, was there, and we finally got to sleep, and I'm sleeping, resting after that long drive, and suddenly she wakes up screaming. Piercing and bawling. And I thought, what in the world? Maybe this is post whatever they call it. Post toasties or whatever it is. And I said, honey, my mother-in-law woke up, Lyndall woke up, and I said, what is wrong? She said, I had a dream. I said, well, tell me the dream. And she said, the new car, I just picked up a new Chrysler at the Detroit factory. Brand new. Probably 40, 50,000 miles on it. And I said, now what? He said, we're in an accident. And I saw two people laying down dead. You ran over them. You killed them. I said, honey, relax. If God gave you that dream, it's a warning that we can do something about it. We don't have to succumb. Devil wants to do something. He wants me to kill two people. Because I'm so tired and worn out from preaching, but I'm going to be on guard now. We all grabbed hands. It took about 30 or 40 minutes to get her calm, and we bound that thing. 3 o'clock that afternoon, 3 o'clock in the morning, now 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my mother-in-law said, they had the big Oral Roberts tent, and I want to go to the healing room. Manuel, will you drive us? And so I drove, and asleep on the wheel. Went through the light and smashed into a car, totally demolished my car and the car. And I said, honey. And she said, oh, the dream. I said, an older couple. Now, they were not that old. They were my age. But anyway, there's an older couple. Now, remember, this was a long time ago. I said, I'm going to just walk over there. And I got out of the bashed car. Not one blood, no bones broken, no scratches. And they said, Sonny, how you doing? And I said, oh, thank God. I was in the wrong. I shouldn't have been driving. I was so tired and sleepy. And my wife, contributed to it by her nightmare. When God gives you a dream, whether it's good or bad, commit it to God. You can do something. The devil doesn't have the last word anytime. Come on, everybody. All right. Give me another. It is time. It is time to ask for the spring rain. It is now spring. And I'm telling you, it is so thrilling to hear what Pastor David and the elders and leaders and pastoral staff is doing in this church and all of you workers together. You understand it's springtime. It's time for the spring rain to bring, come on, the fruition, to bring the harvest, the fruitfulness, the expansion, the souls, to start community explosions all over this valley, to where the people of God are going to be all involved in ministry together, doing the work of God. It's springtime. Somebody say, it's springtime. Now, some people are still getting snow and tornadoes, but here it's springtime. And in springtime, it's the latter rain. It's the harvest rain. It is the producing of those wonderful trophies that Jesus died on the cross for. And that's the souls of men and women. Let me give you the next one. I'm going to give you one more, I think. Well, I'm going to give you eight. Eight requirements. Are you ready for them? Let me just tell you something. We live in what historians and the greatest theologians are declaring and calling a defining moment or a turning point in history. These are so many things that are rapidly changing in our government, in the governments of the world, in societies, the economy, the church, and we can hardly keep up with all the changes. We're seeing the fall of communism, but we're seeing the rise of Islam. We're seeing the shaking of Western nations and cultures. We're seeing the disintegration of our nation. It's broken. It's broken in Washington. It's broken. And from a biblical standpoint, not all of these changes are God. We can't blame God for all of them, but we got to believe that he is on the throne and he's Lord, and many of them he's orchestrating, because there's a way he unfolds his purposes and gets us back to our first love and back to the prayer room and back to intercession. And I want to share eight requirements, I believe, that are upon us corporately as a church and as a group of churches and the body of Christ worldwide. How we minister in a changing world. The first requirement is transgenerational leadership and partnership. Moses was one generation. Joshua was another. Moses mentored and trained Joshua. And God's goal is greater than just having one generation succeeding another. He wants cooperation, to cooperate with another, to accomplish his will and purpose. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it alone. The pastor alone cannot do it. And the pastor and a few elders can't do it. I preach in a church where they have 150 elders or 150 pastors. They still can't do it. It's got to be every single member active in their gifting and in their calling and in their purpose and flowing together and praying together and warring together. Not everybody's going to be the quarterback. Not everybody's going to be the home run hitter. But everyone is going to contribute their gifting. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. See, we need the older and experienced generation to show us things of the past that we should hold on to and never forsake. Rudimental doctrines, truth. You know, prayer is so uninteresting to some people. You mentioned prayer and it's so, listen, this is how we get saved through prayer. This is how your loved ones get saved through prayer. This is how healing comes. This is how answers to terrible afflictions and persecution and demonic attacks come through prayer. Why should prayer be some kind of a, oh, well, that's for spiritual people. That's for everybody. I don't know how to pray. Our Father, great, infinite, almighty, irresistible, irrefutable, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent. I just say, help! how to cry, help! And if you read the Bible, everyone that ever cried help in the Bible, God heard them. Come on, hallelujah. You don't need adjectives. You don't need a degree. In prayer, you need neology. You need learn to get on your knees or learn to walk or lay prostrate. Now, the Lord said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Joshua 1:5. That's the continuity of God's presence. He said, I'll be with you. My presence will be with you. And then he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's the continuity of God's law, God's word. If we don't have continuity, we'll get weird. And if we don't have newness, we get stuck. And so the first requirement is transgenerate. The second requirement is a new level of courage. I've already talked about it. Three times the Lord told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. If there ever was a time we need a spiritual backbone, it's now. The third requirement is to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you, Joshua 1:11. We need a new emphasis on the old commission. This generation of Israelites had heard the commission before, but it was 40 years old. They knew their destiny was not sand. It was covenant land. So when the Lord said through Joshua, go in and possess the land, it was not a new revelation. Some people want new sensationalistic revelations and they haven't obeyed the ones they've already got. Winds of doctrine may come and go, but the great commission to disciple the nations in the will of God and the purpose of God for every generation, for all churches. Jesus said, do not fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, Luke 12:32. On the other hand, he said the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force, Matthew 11:12. Is the kingdom given or taken? The kingdom is given to those who take it. The kingdom is given to those who have a mentality, and I call it a kingdom mentality, of occupation, not evacuation. Now look, I'm going to try to listen to Dr. Sell. I want to hear about the rapture and the tribulation and all that. But I want to tell you one thing. I'm not just going to look forward to the evacuation. I'm thinking in my spiritual mind or the mind of Christ that this church and the body of Christ worldwide has got land to possess, territory to possess. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. We are going to go up in the rapture. But till we go up, we got to go out. Right. Say, go out. I am going up in the rapture. Whether I'm post or ah or pre, I just know one thing. If we're going to argue and fight, we can do it on our way up. Hallelujah. Every generation of believers potentially can see a move of God and experience a baptism in the Spirit. But the fourth requirement is we need a new baptism. We need a new baptism. You say, what is a new baptism? It's a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. You may have received the baptism 40 years ago. And I know the doctrine of once saved, always saved, and once baptized, always baptized. The problem is, the Bible said, be filled with the Spirit and be full of the Holy Ghost. And the devil comes along when you get your can filled, he punches a hole in it and it leaks out. So when I used to come to the altar, people would lay hands upon me as a little boy, and I'll never forget it. They put their hands on me and they would start praying, empty him, Lord, empty him. And I'd say, no, no, I want to be full. I want to be full. Empty him, Lord. They said, no, you can't be filled until you're emptied. Emptied of pride, emptied of self, emptied of your own way, your own will, your stubbornness, your arrogance. Yes. And so when you lay it all aside and you say, God, you are my Lord, I'm willing now to be emptied, the Holy Spirit will come and give you a refilling. Hallelujah. A new baptism, a new anointing. You got to have it. Paul said, be being filled in Ephesians 5:18. See, these people that I'm talking about, this generation, they were born in the desert. Though they had heard about it, they had not seen the Red Sea miracle. 1 Corinthians 10, verse Verses 1 and 2 says that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The sea, obviously, means water, and the cloud in the Old Covenant means the Holy Spirit. So the Exodus and the Jordan crossing were baptismal. Every generation of believer needs to experience a move of God. Psalms 106 says, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. As that army of Pharaoh was breathing down their necks, and they were faced with the sea in front of them and mountains on either side and the horrible army behind them. Man, it was the time. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord stepped in, the Lord did some fantastic things, both at Jordan and both at the Red Sea. Now, we're called to a new baptism in our generation, one that transcends previous outpourings. Listen, I know the laughing revival that happened in Tonnerol, people laid under the power and laughing. I know about the revivals that people have had where these things. Can I tell you? I'm looking for the lasting revival. God does things, but he doesn't always do them to be repeated over and over and over. And we get stuck in a rut, and we want every service to be like this. I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What is the same? He still saves. He still heals. He still baptizes. He still makes people holy. He still, come on now, calls prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. He calls everyone to have a spiritual gift and have involvement in the greatest thing that ever happened, and that is the salvation of the unsaved. Can you say amen? Amen. And we can't do without teachers, and we can't do it without apostles, and we can't do without prophets, and we can't do without intercessors, and we can't do it by the older generation, which is me, and all of those that are 70 and old, you know, older. That generation must come together with the new generation, with their excitement. All right, let me give you another one. We got to get rid of the slavery, bondage mentality. It's got to be broken. It will not only bind us, but in some strange way, it will take our security away. Some things need to be broken off our life. We need to hold on to things that are godly. But those things that are not godly must be broken off. Their hold is broken. And when we renew covenant with the Lord and ask him to cut away anything and everything that would hinder us from loving him. You say, do you do that? You better believe it. Bet your life. I've been praying that prayer. I don't want anything that's going to hinder me. I want to be free of it. The sixth requirement is to meet the challenge of a new day with a new level of stewardship. The manna ceased the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land that year. Joshua 5:12. The Lord wanted the Israelites to transition to becoming stewards of the land, stewards of them. The Lord is not going to pour out supernatural provision or manna without us, you and I, all of us, responsibly managing what he's already given us. People for whom everything is done are called babies. The Lord is growing us up. His purpose is for us to manage well what he's given us. And I was so thrilled. Easter Sunday, it was probably unexpected in the message, but it was so powerful. I heard the word that Pastor David preached. It was so powerful. And what's happening around here is so powerful. But he said something that only I would have the nerve to say. If you don't believe this, then we should shut the doors of the church. I thought, bravo! What's the use of having church if it don't work? What's the use of believing lies, promises that don't work? There's one thing about God's eternal, infallible, incomparable, unadulterated, irresistible, irrefutable, never lying, never failing word. It works. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. It works. All right. 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd only been asleep about an hour. My wife, Daniel! Man. I jump out of bed. her blood pressure was 191. Lying machine. Lies! Because yesterday it was 130. Can't be 191. So I said, okay, let me pray for you. Let me check it. So I put my hand in there. And I was 187 over 190 or something. It was so stupid. She was going to have convulsions there just by... I said, that's just the stupid machine. The devil wants to hinder my message today. He wants to keep you out of church. That dirty, rotten devil like a cockroach. Oh, he wants the blood just... You know why I'm acting this way? I watched the movie Unbroken last night with my granddaughter and her husband, Wyatt. And she kept her eyes closed because it is so, it's just so, ugh. But I wanted them to see, Satan can't break you. I don't care what the blood pressure machine says. I don't care what the IRS says. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what your neighbors say. I don't care what, I want to know, what did God say? Come on, hallelujah. And when you have the spiritual guts to say something like Pastor David Sell said. Is that your name, David Sell? My, we got two Davids here, my God. But only one Goliath. Come on! All right, I'm done. Not finished, but I'm done. Whose report do you believe? I'm going to tell you something. Pray until. In the old Pentecostal church, they had an expression. See, some of you people didn't know it, but I'm Pentecostal. Amen. Through and through. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed. I speak in other tongues. Whoopee! Hallelujah! I'm not as scared of the Holy Ghost. He likes to dwell in me. My body's his temple. Come on, hallelujah. And Pentecostals prayed. I prayed all night in my daddy's home. He had every Saturday in the music store, he had an all-night prayer meeting. And the demon-possessed would come into the music store. Of course, he'd turn all the lights out in the windows so that people couldn't peek in. And we cast out devils, prayed for people. Demons came out of people. People were healed. And we prayed all night. But we had an expression that I think I'm going to bring back after this prophecy. I'm going to say it often. See, when it says, it's time to seek the Lord until, the Pentecostal people said, have you prayed through? And what they meant, have you prayed through to victory? Even if you can't see it, there's somehow when you pray and you get through, then you have the assurance. I get up when I pray through and I say, where's the coffee? Give me a cup of coffee. I'm ready now for my English muffin. Because I feel in my spirit that God heard. And angels will be dispatched. Or the miracle will happen. And I don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah. And you know what I prayed? You know, thank you, audience. But you know what I prayed? I prayed for you at 4:30 this morning. You know what I prayed? I prayed that you would accept this word and grab it and start saying, Pastor David, we're going to have prayer meetings. We're going to prayer meetings. We're going to do that Friday thing. We're going to be here. I didn't even know about this subject that you guys were really, because I'm gone for months at a time. But this is the time that God is enlisting all generations, transgenerational, merging together to take the kingdom by force. Put up your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, I did my best to give them what you gave me. There's so much to be said about the warfare that's going on in America and in the Mideast and in Africa. Thousands of children being kidnapped. Thousands of Christians being killed, slaughtered digging trenches and throwing their bodies like a bunch of garbage. Oh, God. The church has got to arise. It's high time. It's high time that they arise in prayer. Put on the whole armor of God. Their shoes shod with the gospel of peace. Peace that no matter what is happening, we've got the answer in Jesus. We've got the answer. We are the church. We are the kingdom people that are going to make a difference in the world. We are going to see God turn this thing around. God, I pray that Gateway will arise out of any lethargic, fearful, become emboldened and courageous and excited and passionate about the good news that Jesus is on the throne, that he is almighty, and he is God, and the earth is the Lord's, and all the inhabitants, all the people, even the communist, even the ungodly. He saved the whole city because of a backslidden prophet. Went to Nineveh, a whole city repented. Even the cows and the horses repented. Lord, you can see a change in overnight. Tomorrow about this time, Elijah the prophet said, tomorrow about this time. It was famine. They were eating their own babies. Tomorrow about this time, cannibalism. It was a terrible famine, a terrible problem in Israel. And the prophet prophesied, tomorrow about this time, glory to God. And a revival broke out. Come on, everybody, hallelujah. And the ISIS can be defeated. The ISIS can be run back into their hole where they crawled out of. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Lift up your hands now and say to God, say, God, I'm willing. I'm ready. I'm going to join in that prayer army. I'm going to do warfare for my home, for my family, for my city, for the unchurched, the unsaved. Come on, shout unto God right now. There's going to be a change in me. Take it, Pastor David. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Let's tell Apostle C we received this word this morning. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Give him a hand this morning. Thank you, Apostle C.
You're all a part of it.
Awesome.
Transgenerational. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey, we're going to bring this service to a close. I want to invite our altar teams to come. We have some elders and intercessors and folks here that are coming forward. And if you want to check in with someone and just receive prayer, talk to somebody about your spiritual life. If you need spiritual help of any kind, people are here to care for you and love you and make sure that your need is met in Christ. Apostle C could not have known and did not know that this Friday night is a special prayer meeting. Pastor John was prompted months ago. He said, I just feel like we need to have a special prayer meeting. We have regular Saturday prayer and our staff prays and dozens of prayer meetings throughout the week, small groups and but he just felt a leading, and that's this Friday night. Apostle C could not have known that. It is time to pray. It is time to seek the Lord. So we'll be here Friday night seeking the Lord. And hey, I want to let you know about something that's coming next month, because it's not only time for God to work, and it's not only high time, but it's time to get off the fence. It's time to catch the vision. And in the month of May, on the 17th and the 16th, Saturday, May 16th and 17th, is Catch the Vision Weekend. We're going to have a vision seminar here. People are asking, what is the clear vision of Gateway City Church? What is our plan going forward? How are we going to take the city? How are we going to mobilize men, women, and children in response to messages like this in the hour that we live in? We have a vision, and we have a plan, and we're going to unpack that vision and plan very carefully on Vision Weekend. So we want to be sharing with you, for everyone who dreams, if you believe that God wants to use your life, I want you to be a part of Catch the Vision Weekend. That's Saturday from 9 to noon. And then Sunday, Apostle C will be back on that Sunday. I'll be here, but he'll be sharing more about vision. I believe it's an exciting time for us to as a church, move forward. God is guiding us, and he's leading us into great places. So catch the vision. Be a part of what's happening. Don't forget, sign up in the lobby for the workday and all the information for the special prayer groups and prayer meeting and the small groups, Grave Robber. It's all in the lobby and online. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for coming today. And if you need prayer, come on forward at this time. We'll connect with you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.